One of my all-time favorite guests, not only on One Dimitri Radio, but also when I was at WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia, this 50,000-watt blowtorch heritage radio station, was this guy named Bob Ney. He was a congressman at the time representing southeastern Ohio, and he was very high up in the food chain there. He was a whip, and he was in charge of the House Administration Committee or some such thing, pretty much the mayor of Washington, D.C. He, of course, his biggest claim to fame is that he renamed French fries Freedom Fries, but he also did a lot of other good stuff as well. Then he ran into some problems and all that, but he came out a much better man on the other side, and I've always, always valued his judgment, always valued his insights, and he's just been an absolutely terrific guy. And so I asked him to join us here today. We're recording this interview Monday, October 3rd, first day of the Supreme Court, by the way, to give us his insights regarding everything that's going on in the world of politics, because he was up to his eyeballs in this stuff. And he's still, actually now, he is a major commentator for the Talk Media News Service. His commentaries and interviews are on 410 radio stations all across America. And now he's on One Dimitri Radio, so that's 411. So, Bob Ney, welcome back to One Dimitri Radio. How you doing?
I'm good, Dimitri. How are you doing? You
Fantastic.
Great.
Now, you
I've
were...
been following you from India.
Yes.
I went on all different time from when you go on. For me, I was 9 hours ahead, but I followed most of your broadcasts. I love them. And the other thing is, you know, we're in the same business, but we're not media people. I won't insult you or myself. We're communicators. There is a difference.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to be known as a media person today.
Well, you're on the Talk Media News Service, for God's sake. Look at your paycheck.
That's okay. I'm unique. I'm on their service, but I'm not a media. I'm a communicator like you.
All right. You're okay. You're in denial, but that's okay. First, let's get the India thing out of the way. Why on earth do you go to this third world cesspool halfway across the world? I've never understood your fascination with this country.
It's not a cesspool. It's a lot of nice people. Nobody's being gunned down and stabbed to death hour by hour over there. They don't sit there it's a very diverse country with Hindu and Muslim and Christian and Jewish, etc. They don't have all the fights we have anyway. It's, you know, I love my country, but it's a great place to go chill out and to walk, trek, do some trekking and meditation. It's a cool place to recharge your batteries. You got to get outside the system once in a while, you know. You've got that big wattage, you know, that you're sending across America, but you got to get out of that once in a while and just kind of take a look at everything.
Bob, my sources tell me that in India, they don't even have toilets a lot of times. They have to go into a vacant lot and just squat and poop. Now, you know that's true. Now, you know that's true.
Back to natural ways.
Oh,
what's wrong with that?
God, you sound like some of the people here who've got septic systems. Anyway, tell me first, what was the big takeaway in India? Were most of the people there talking about me and One Dimitri Radio? Were they talking about the election? What do they talk about over there other than, do you have clean water for us? What do they say?
Well, they watched your show, some of the people at the restaurant I was at.
Nice.
And they said, is he mean? I said, no, he's okay.
What?
He's all right.
Oh,
watched your show, but a lot of people watched the live debate. This is pretty interesting.
Yes.
Indians like Barack Obama. He was over there a couple of times, made a big hit, et cetera. But the Indians, whether they were people making $30 a month who didn't follow news or whether they were people that, you know, follow news, it was fascinating to hear him say, oh, yeah, Trump's going to be president, huh? And then on my way to the airport, the driver turns to me and says, yes, I saw Trump's billboard. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I said, were you in America? He said, no, it's in Delhi. Trump has a billboard in Delhi, India, with his picture on it. He's building a hotel there or something.
Yeah. How many Americans?
You know what they think?
What?
They hear him talk about China and India, and believe me on this for a second. First of all, India loves us.
Yes.
They are the world's largest democracy. Mm-hmm. They literally do not hate us. They don't try to get it up on us, you know, on a trade bill. They are completely different than that commie, bloodthirsty Chinese government that owns us. And they kind of look at it as, you know, there might be a little bit fairer shake, and then we can get some of our jobs back here in America, and we can get off of the Chinese breast milk that we are addicted to. And, you know, maybe they'll stop sending in lead paint to kill our kids, the Chinese, and our dogs, and maybe we can actually deal with India. So I think that's in the back of their minds. It surely is in mine.
Well, here's the problem.
Obviously, I won't be getting a visa to China this month. But
apparently not, or Saudi Arabia. We'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with this whole India play that you just talked about here, Bob. That means we're going to have more customer service call centers in Bangalore, and we're going to have to be calling these Indians, and the English is always their second language, and they mean well, and they try hard, and it's always very frustrating. So I'm not sure. I'm not a big fan of Bangalore customer service calling.
Well, I like the Indian calls better than the Pakistanis. They shelter terrorists in Pakistan. India doesn't.
Well, so. Yeah. By the way, okay, you would know this.
I'm not going to Pakistan next month, obviously, either.
You would know this. Why is it that our government continues to favor Pakistan over India? It's been this way forever. I've never understood it.
Pakistan is a cesspool, literally. Pakistan has women all veiled up in the burqas. Pakistan breeds terrorism. Pakistan wanted us to tell them that we were going after Osama so they could tell him to move because they knew where he was at anyway. This whole fascination we have with Pakistan's coming around, Pakistan has helped create terror. The government is worthless in Pakistan. We have to absolutely support India, period. And this whole shuffle game we play, we're not going to turn Pakistan around. It is a cesspool, Pakistan is. It's a jihadist influenced government, and it has helped create terror. I'm not saying we go bomb Pakistan, but we need to support India over Pakistan. Pakistan went in and murdered the policeman, and the whole world, you know, stepped in. But, see, Pakistan used us. In 9-1-1, they said, we'll help you out. We'll help you fight terrorism. They got a ton of money from us and created this fake supporting friendship with us, Dimitri. That's what they did.
But this goes back even before 9-11, even when I was a kid. Why? Help me understand. Why has our government always favored Pakistan over India? I've never understood this one.
I understand that we, you know, lift the king's robe and kiss his rear end, the White House does, because of the oil money. What Pakistan offers us is beyond me. I don't know. They have no common relationship with our country.
Yeah, I've never understood. The day I die, I'll never get it. I'll just never get it. All right, so let's go back to America here. Do they have like TV and radio and internet over there in India? Did you actually get to see anything of happening here?
I mean, I put your show on in a restaurant and they were all watching.
Do they do the power by having like a water buffalo walking around in a big circle?
Even I was up in the Himalayas, they have electric generators and plants and sugar.
My God, that's amazing. Not if they only had public toilets. But anyway, so tell me what exactly...
You should go over sometime. Your wife would probably pay for half of your ticket.
Well, my wife would pay for all of it one way, no question. But no, you couldn't pay me...
Yes, I was going to say... Well, I didn't want to say that. And plus the $10,000, she would give me cash to keep you over there, but... that's another story.
The Fed hasn't printed enough money yet to get me to go over to India or any other third world cesspool. I'm sorry. I see your Facebook live things and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. He's going to a restaurant here. It looks like they've got flies everywhere and they don't wash their hands. Oh, my God, Bob, it's so disgusting. Jesus. Anyway, speaking of disgusting, let's get back to the politics here in America. What do you make of where we are today? Again, I'm talking with Bob Ney, and he is a major commentator for the Talk Media News Service, also the author of Sideswiped, a runaway bestseller that you can buy for a discount if you just send him a Gmail thing, which we'll get to in a bit. And he's on 410 radio stations and has been a congressman and everything else. So what do you make of what the heck's going on with our election today?
Well, you know, anytime you post things, you know, on Facebook or your opinion, everybody starts to go back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt or Ronald Reagan or whatever. Here's the bottom line. We have two candidates which a vast majority of this country loathe. People will say, well, you know, Donald Trump is going to just get creamed. After he's had a horrific week, a miserable debate performance, on and on and on, you know, even the Dalai Lama made fun of him, for goodness sakes.
Are you serious?
It's so out of character for the Dalai Lama. Shame on him. One of the ladies that is on my Facebook said that the Dalai Lama is on her crap list. But anyway, after all of this, you know, they're touting today, Hillary Clinton 6 points up. She should be 50 points up. The fact remains that, you know, she used him in the debate in the sense of, you know, seized on some of his imperfections and his ego. But, you know, Hillary Clinton stands there and she brings up the Miss Universe, you know. Oh, by the way, Miss Universe is in the audience, you know. But if you bring up something on Hillary Clinton, oh, you know, you're setting her up, you're talking personal. So they can talk about Trump and, you know, his wives, et cetera, and this supposed rape case and all this stuff. But if you talk about Bill, you can't do that because Bill's not running, although they invoke Bill and he's going to be head of economics for the White House, et cetera. Here, look, I'm not shilling for Trump. I'm really not. But if you look at the facts of this election, this is what my friends get mad at me for, relatives that would crawl across glass for Hillary Clinton. The bottom line remains is she is a pathetic, horrible candidate who, you know, has went through all this foundation stuff. There's more to come. It stinks. It smells. I know. I've been in a scandal myself. She pales. She makes Jack Abramoff, that I got in a scandal with, look like a piker. I mean, Uma Abedin and her husband shirtless. I mean, on and on and on. This is the weirdest election. After all of that, she's, you know, still a candidate. And Donald Trump and all the things he's done, he's still a candidate. But the fact remains that this is going to be a tight election. Now, Gary Johnson's taking 9%. Whose votes is he taking? I don't know. I actually assume he's taking some of Hillary's because Bernie's people really know what she's about, and she's going to screw them as soon as she gets her hand off the Bible, and they know that. So, and Jill Stein's got 2%. And that's a factor this time because in a close election, those percentages count. Now, I ran stories this morning on our news service, and I found it with fascination. This is very interesting. The whole racist Trump thing and his taxes, et cetera, which, by the way, if anybody published our taxes without our authority, they would be in jail. In the New York Times, I don't care about if Donald Trump didn't pay taxes, okay, take him to task for it, but New York Times had no legal right. They can't hide behind the First Amendment on this. You can't start doing these types of things. But having said that, you know, the fact remains, I think, that as I did stories today, the one I pulled out was about Hillary Clinton saying, I don't know what it's like to be a black grandmother. Yeah, I don't know either what it's like to be a black grandmother, you know. I don't know what it's like to be a black grandfather, but I know there's black grandfathers and white grandfathers and Asian grandfathers, and maybe they don't have money or something, but maybe some of the ones that have money, maybe their grandchild has cystic fibrosis or terminal cancer. So you read this pathetic stuff coming out of Hillary Clinton's mouth because she's a race baiter. She's a race baiter. Bring it. She doesn't know what it's like to be a black grandmother. Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton doesn't know what it's like to struggle like Americans do in this country because her grandchild is going to have $100 million. So, you know, I mean, when I see this type of thing, she is just as disingenuous as Donald Trump is. And that's why this election is going to be tight. And, again, you know, somebody told me the other day, well, if he can't take enough of the black vote, it's going to create a race war. No, Hillary Clinton is telling white people they're bad. She's creating a white and black problem, in my humble opinion here.
Yeah.
She's not a healer. You know, you treat everybody fair, no matter their race or their gender or their preference. You treat them fair. But you don't come out and say, well, we don't know what it's like to be, we're not black, so therefore we don't know what it's like to be a grandmother with struggles. Well, I'm sorry. There's grandmas of all colors that have grandchildren they're trying to raise by themselves, or maybe their grandchildren are terminally ill. I think it's pathetic when you surf news stories that the elections boil down to what kind of grandma Hillary Clinton is or who Trump, you know, slept with or remarried for the third time. The main issues of this election are being squandered. They really are, Dimitri. That's my rant.
All right. Now, I think you buried the lead here. When you are reviewing all the stories, because, again, you're on the talk media news service, you're on 410 radio stations and all that. When you were reviewing all these stories to discuss this morning, tell my listeners what pattern you noticed.
Oh, I was amazed. I was trying to, and I was helping out. Ellen Ratner had some stations she was doing this morning. So I got up extra early, and I surfed for 45 minutes. And they were all completely, I mean, completely Trump bashing, period. I mean, I couldn't find one. Now, let me give the devil's advocate point of view here. Well, he didn't do anything positive. No, that's not true. And it was beyond taxes. It was just, it was absolutely everything. I couldn't find one story, not one. And that's kind of quite amazing when you look at it. And I searched, you know, all over the net. So I think that the mainstream media has decided in mass, for the most part, that he will not be elected, and no matter what, she will be elected. And they, you know, they're just basically ignoring a lot of other things, you know, that it'd be even tit for tat, Clinton Foundation stuff, you know, the latest on the fundraiser with Uma Abedin in Paris, Uma's father's connections to jihadists. I mean, you know, this stuff's just sitting there. They're having Paris fundraisers for $5,000-$10,000 a pop, and it's just all complete anti-Trump, like I've never seen on a candidate. And again, he brings some of it on himself, but I think it's pretty well decided that they've gotten together and they're not going to have him as president of the United States.
Do you think it'll work?
Well, I think it. This is a pattern that I saw. This is fascinating. I saw a pattern, including with our own news service, and I'm candid about that. I've complained about that. I saw a pattern of only Trump bashing, period, no matter what the news stories were. And after about 2 weeks, psychologically, a lot of people that I know said, you know, I don't like him, but, man, they're relentless on him. Something must be wrong. And all of a sudden, his numbers got actually a little bit better. I think they'll carry this overboard. A couple of mistakes by her, and it gets, you know, narrow again. Again, though, he has to perform better in the debate, and the vice president's debates will be important, which is coming up this weekend, and also a debate, you know, with the two candidates. So it's going to be important because he failed miserably in the debate. But I just see a pattern, again, of just jugular vein. You know, he can't do anything right, and they're going to, you know, not let him rest for it. And I think that eventually, look, there's an amount of people won't budge no matter what Trump does or Hillary. They could both slap Girl Scouts and they would say, what did the little girls do to deserve it? You know, I understand that. But for the ones going back and forth, independents or undecideds, one day they're for Trump, one day they're for Hillary, this is sort of almost like a manipulation game. I saw her gain, the media went after him psychotically, and then all of a sudden, it started to backfire. And then you saw the media kind of get fair with him. It's almost like a organized, orchestrated game.
Yep. It is amazing. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, Bob. It is the most disheartening thing because the media now they don't even pretend. It's not even pretend. It's like he's bad. We've got to do fact checking on him and this, that, and the other. It's like, my God, I've actually stopped watching Morning Joe on MSNBC. I've stopped watching, with all due respect, on Bloomberg. Most of the time I've stopped watching even on CNN because it is, and not that Fox is great, it's not. I mean, they're actually not big fans overall of Donald Trump. It's just that by default, it's just not as bad as the others because the others, every day, it's the same effing story. And after a while, it's like, okay, it's not even news anymore. It's like, I know what you're going to say. It's going to be horrible. It's not going to be balanced. It's not going to, it just, I can't watch it. I can't watch any of this stuff anymore.
It's gotten to me because I'm sitting there, again, our own news service. I started digging into it, and I was looking at the articles, and on days when some really horrific things happened to Hillary Clinton, there was nothing mentioned.
Right.
Nothing. And it's just a natural press bias that's out there. It's almost like a join the gang type of thing. And I've never seen it to this magnitude. Again, I fully understand Trump brings a lot of stuff on himself. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But Hillary Clinton is getting a pass on a ton of things. And, you know, if you bring up Bill, oh, you can't raise the infidelity, how dare you. But she can bring up, you know, the woman that he said was like a Latino maid or something, or she was fat. It's okay for her to bring all of that up. That's fair game. But he brings up something and it's not fair game. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird thing going on. Then I have a feeling once she gets elected, the media will turn on her. And I don't know. There's money involved somewhere.
No question. Now,
commercials, TV commercials.
All right. Now we're recording this. I should say, excuse me. Monday, October 3rd. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the WikiLeaks, Julian Assange has something scheduled on Berlin TV, where he's supposedly going to release some really damning information regarding Hillary Clinton. If he goes ahead with this, do you have any inkling what this might be?
No, you know, Hillary Clinton, he canceled that balcony thing, and you know, that from the Ecuadorian embassy because of security reasons. And somebody said he still likes to breathe. He's been interesting. His whole approach to this thing. I think there was a bit of theatrics and some manipulation of the press there, which is okay. He's building it up, you know, bigger.
Sure.
I highly doubt he just comes with some fluff stuff all of a sudden. I noticed she's viciously attacked Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. She's done that, and that's kind of a thing. I've done it. I'm going to admit it. I got a reporter that's after me. You know, you go, you end up attacking him, and then when he attacks you, see, he attacked me because I attacked him. I understand that game. I played it. And that's what she's doing here. Oh, I've been attacking him, so he's going to say anything. I don't know what he's got, but it's got to be something either of a personal nature, or it's got to be something where she just did some kind of, well, she's already done a huge security breach, but she's done some kind of major security faux pas, because, you know, security is the number one issue of this election. It should be other things, but it's the number one issue of this election. So I don't know what he's got, but I don't think he's done all this to look like an idiot.
No, WikiLeaks doesn't do fluff. I mean, they deliver. I mean, you may not like them. I love WikiLeaks. I love Edward Snowden. I love Julian Assange. I know Chelsea Manning. I know we disagree on this stuff, but I love these
whistleblowers. No, we don't. I have said you can place Edward Snowden between traitor, or you can place him between hero. Here's the bottom line of Edward Snowden. Hillary says, well, he should have done it here. He would have hung himself, quote, literally.
Sure.
He'd have been a 24-year-old guy that had a heart attack. They would have killed him, Dimitri.
Yep.
Our government would have killed him. Somebody would have killed him. And does anybody think that all of the lies that we found out and the things when I voted against the Patriot Act that I knew they were going to do to citizens, does anybody think that the members of Congress were going to step up and say, oh, everybody's been lying to you. Yes, we've been watching your pay-per-view. No, they did it because Snowden forced it.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for Edward Snowden, I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
And I think Assange's and Snowden, whether it was improper the way they went about it, they caused the beginning of a change. Although I got a ton of friends that say, well, Bob, you know, we got to be kept safe.
Yeah.
We have to let them get all our information. Okay, keep thinking that.
Yeah, and I ask people this. I am glad. That's right. I actually forgot that you were along with Dr. Ron Paul and that other guy voted against the USA Patriot Act. God bless you for that, by the way.
The Republican side, me, Ron Paul, and Butch Otter.
Yeah, God bless you for that. Now, I tell these people who think, well, Edward Snowden's a traitor and this, that, and the other. We, you know, the government's got to keep us safe. NSA should have all of our information. It's like, okay. All right, fine. Well, you've got, you know, the NSA has all of our information, everything and all that. Do you feel safer today than you had? I don't know anyone who feels any safer today. I think we're all terrified. I think it's gotten worse. I really think it's gotten worse.
Well, it's because our security agencies are idiots.
Right.
I mean, they're collecting stuff and using it on our own citizens. They're idiots.
Right.
Look, the Kenya terrorist, his father walks into the American embassy after we have spent a gazillion dollars to make Homeland Security talk to each other. I heard that crap.
Oh, Nigerian. The Nigerian guy, the shoebox. No,
right.
The Nigerian
guy. But he walks,
the underwear guy, yeah.
He walks into the embassy, says, my insane son is in London. Here's the flight he's going on to America, and he's going to do something.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. Then they don't send it on because they're idiots.
Yeah, well,
they're idiots. And then they provide information on Syria. You know, we got to support this guy, and then John McCain runs out there. You know, we got to support this guy. And then Obama says, we got to support this guy. And the guy that they've given all the information on, the hero, cuts his opponent's heart out, chews on it on YouTube, and says, God is great, Allahu Akbar. We're doomed.
No question. In fact, here's my guess.
But it's okay for security to see what you're watching on pay-per-view tonight. That's okay.
I know.
That
it's
helps.
It's insane. It's just so insane. My guess is that Julian Assange is going to have something where Hillary Clinton, is like a smoking gun, that she's selling weapons to ISIS. That's my guess. Now, we'll see. Well, but through Libya. Through Libya. That's my guess. Now, we'll see. I don't know, but I'm putting my money on that. Now, a couple other things. First, because you know all the insiders there, Bob, and help me understand. How did James Comey, the head of the FBI, ever have a good reputation? Because this guy should be in prison right next to Hillary Clinton.
Well, this is really a sad case. Comey's out there realizing that he's toast. In the ethical community, the law enforcement community, every community, he's toast. Because here's what he did. If he didn't feel that Hillary Clinton did anything, okay. But then why did he turn around and release the notes? You don't release notes. If a person is innocent and is not indicted, you don't release notes. He tried to have his cake and eat it too. I'm releasing the notes, but, you know, in an unprecedented way. So he really, to defend Hillary Clinton for a second, those notes should not have been released. But when you look at the whole thing, this is the one part that just stands out in my mind. And I'm going to use your lovely wife for an example. If you got in trouble with the prosecutor in Belmont County, all right, and your wife happened to know the prosecutor, and he was, you know, going to the mall for dinner in a private setting, and she walks into that room and shuts the door and says, hi, how have you been? They're going to indict your lovely wife, okay? That's what they're going to do, because it's you know, tinkering, obviously, with an investigation. Bill Clinton walked on her plane. She let him on her plane. That in itself, I don't care if they didn't talk about Hillary. That is the most unbelievable, unprecedented interference in any fashion or form of an investigation. And if it happened to anybody else, your wife, anybody's family, Dimitri, they would indict them for it.
Yes. Now, what about Comey?
And Comey did nothing. That's what I'm saying. He did nothing with that. He should have went after the attorney general herself. He should have went after her.
What about Comey, though? What do you know about this guy? What's the word about him? What had been the word about him inside the Beltway?
Well, the word about Comey was that, you know, well, he's a Republican and he's a good guy. And, you know, basically Comey had, an amazing reputation.
Really?
He really did. And oh, absolutely. Yeah, he had a great reputation. But now, I mean, he's done. He's completely done. He's finished. He was a United States Deputy Attorney General, all right? Mm-hmm. And that was in around, I think, 2005. He was in George Bush's administration. So he was the second highest ranking official in this country, Dimitri, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he was a friend of this Patrick Fitzgerald, who was a real pit bull. They went after, you know, a ton of people. He was in, I think he was in a big corporation, Boeing or Lockheed Martin, one of the two. Okay, so he's had business experience anyway. He's had a great career. He helped prosecute the Gambino crime family, all right, way back when. Yeah, the Gambinos, okay.
Jesus.
So he's had a great career and he's had a lot of respect, but he's done. I mean, he is so tarnished, not just because he didn't, you know, indict Hillary Clinton, but all the, you know, the way he handled this process. Hillary Clinton comes in and within hours, oh, well, she's okay. Hey, I was deposed. My entire staff in Washington, well, not the entire, but four of them in D.C. were deposed, all right? It took the government months and months and months to decipher things before they started the chess game with us of indictment versus plea, all right? You don't turn around and interview somebody with a case of this magnitude, and then you say the next day, oh, yeah, everything, yeah, it's okay. Oh, yeah, no problem.
It's unbelievable.
The other thing is, too, you know, you don't give immunity to people. It's just like the people that work for me. They threatened them with 45 years in prison.
Jesus.
You don't walk in and say, oh, why don't, you're all going to have immunity. Don't you all worry what you tell us today about Hillary? Don't worry about it. Really?
Do you think Comey was paid off, like in Swiss francs or something, or cold hard cash, you know, airplane in the middle of the night for him? Do you think it was actually as simple as that, that he was just paid off with umpteen million dollars, saying, here, it's untraceable, just make sure this goes away?
No. Here's the thing. Comey really has a great reputation, and he is truly offended by everything that's being said, but too bad for Comey. If he didn't want to indict her, that's fine. But the way he handled the process was horrific. It was horrible. It was unprofessional. It wasn't the right way to do it. So I don't think he got money, but I think he's been promised something down the line. He's going to get something.
Oh, no question.
He's going to get a nice position or speaking fees of 50,000 clip or something.
Yeah. Now, I have a theory, and I've been sharing this theory. Maybe you've heard it when you've been tuning in on Facebook Live or blogtalkradio.com. As far as I can tell, Bob, I'm the only person in the media, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this. As far as I can tell, I'm the only person in the media who is making this argument, and I believe it's a sound argument, and that is this. That all of this, and I want to run this by you because you're the expert. You're the, you know, talk media news service guy. You're the former congressman. You're well connected. You know everybody and everything inside the Beltway there and all that. My belief is that all of this stuff to save Hillary's ass is not about saving Hillary's ass. What it is a necessary thing that the government has to do to save President Obama's ass. Let me tell you why. Because what I found so fascinating in this whole story regarding Hillary Clinton and the rogue server and all this other stuff, emails from everyone except one person, the one person who you know would have to be communicating with her, his Secretary of State, a lot, and that is President Barack Obama. It is amazing to me that no one else has picked up on this. And the fact that President Barack Obama, even though he said, well, the first time I heard about this was in the news, I didn't know, that doesn't pass the smell test with all of the – this was an open secret inside the Beltway. And the fact that Barack Obama never – not one email has come up to Hillary Clinton says to me that he had to know. He had to know what was going on, and now with the latest WikiLeaks disclosures, turns out he's been using an alias to email her.
Right.
All of this, Bob, and in fact, if you agree with it, you could, you know, share this with the Talk Media News Service audience and all that. All of this is not about Hillary. All of this is actually about protecting the president, because if people start to understand that it's the president of the United States who knew that she had an unsecure server and that with all of these secrets and everything else and all that, his reputation would be destroyed. People, this is actually about protecting Barack Obama. Have you heard anyone else stating this theory?
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's a fascinating theory because, look, one of the intelligence people the other day in Congress, and this got very little attention, stood there with Congressman Chavez asking for certain emails. And the intelligence guy said, we can't provide them because these are controlled by Hillary Clinton. And if it was government servers, then you don't have to go ask them for permission. But the Inspector General, et cetera, has a problem of releasing information to the Congress because it's of a classified nature, yet it was across her very, very public, could-be-hacked server. And so when you look at that, I wonder what was deleted. 33,000-some emails, and the president had a policy, which she clearly violated. The president also had a policy of her telling all of her donors for the Clinton Foundation, which she clearly violated. So, you know, I haven't heard that theory, but here's what's of interest to me. what on earth power does she have over Barack Obama that he yielded to the transparency, that he yielded to the server, that he yielded to all this? What does she have over him?
Well, you just answered it. The moment that Barack Obama sent his first email to Hillary Clinton's unsecured server with an alias, that's the moment that Hillary Clinton and all her people had him by the balls. Because here's proof that the president knew this was a private server. His first email with an alias.
That's true. I see where you're going. Otherwise, why use an alias if
exactly.
it's a government server?
The first email that he sent
I
with
see.
That alias,
okay.
they've got him by the balls. Now he's got to clear Hillary and every one of her people because this is a cover-up about the president, not about Hillary Clinton. Why can't anybody else see this? I've been talking about this going, my God, think about this. Why is there no emails from the president? He had to know. Here it is. So if you want to use this theory, Bob, with your talk media news service, all I ask is that you give me credit for it, going, you know, this guy actually, I think, has figured it out. It's about covering up for the president, not about Hillary. So I just wanted to run
that's
that
interesting.
By you. Yeah. All right.
Well,
now,
it's interesting because if it was a secured server, you don't send aliases.
Yes. 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 The first one that he sent, he was doomed. That's all you need. That's why they've got to protect Hillary and all her people, or else any one of them would say, well, the president knew, and then it's all over for him. This is a cover-up for the president, not about for Hillary. So, again, I think I'm the only one who's ever even, you know, pointing this out, and no one else is saying, my God, where are the emails from the president to his secretary of state? That's why, because
that's
he knew. This is the cover-up. It's not about Hillary. It's about him. All right, now let's shift gears here because
I am
you
so
know,
glad I came up with this that I'm going to put
better,
out today.
Oh, you better. You had better give me credit for this is all I got to say. All right, now, here's the next thing. Because you understand Ohio politics like few people others. You're the guy who knocked off Wayne Hayes and you've done – I mean, your track record, your pedigree in Ohio is unbelievable. Here's a theory that I have, Bob. In Ohio, Rob Portman, the senator who's a rhino – was going to have a very difficult time with the Democratic opponent, Ted Strickland.
A horrible time. A horrible time.
Absolutely. And that Governor Kasich is not going to help Donald Trump, and so Trump's going to have a hard time in Ohio, blah, 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 blah. And yet, all of the latest public opinion polling indicates that not only have the Democrats thrown in the towel regarding Strickland, so he's not mm-hmm. going to be able to defeat a weak mm-hmm. Rob Portman, but more importantly, Donald Trump is beyond the margin of error regarding the polling in Ohio. He is leading by like 5 points or something like mm-hmm. that. And my theory is this, Bob, and again, you're the Ohio expert. My theory is this, that if Donald Trump is doing this well in Ohio and Rob Portman, who is a weak candidate, is doing this well in Ohio, and Ohio is a bellwether state by any definition, mm-hmm. this is an indicator that maybe, just maybe, Trump could actually win in a landslide. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to win in a landslide, but I don't think it's going to be razor close in Ohio. Portman will help. Mm-hmm. And Ted, you know, has run a bad campaign and everything, but Portman will help Trump's numbers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
With or without Kasich getting in this race. You know, Kasich's not going to support Trump. But Portman just naturally turning out people and more people going with the Senate seat's going to help Donald Trump.
Does it surprise you that Trump is doing this well in Ohio, where it should be neck and neck like some of these other states, Florida, North Carolina, and all that?
Well, no. Look, the organization for Hillary Clinton in Ohio is dynamic. Let me give credit here. Dimitri, it's dynamic.
Really?
I get these emails, and they're having this at somebody's house, and they're having an actress in, and they're doing – it's amazing. They're on the ground. They're organized. When you start to run around and look at yard signs, all you see is Trump.
Right.
Now, that's not always a total indicator, but that's all you see. And with all of her organization, all of her time in office, the strength of the Democratic organization, the strength of Hillary Clinton, Trump has no organization in Ohio to speak up, period, all right?
Yeah.
He's beating her in Ohio. And I'll go back to the argument. he's angered, the Pope, the Dalai Lama's made fun of him. I mean, just women, minorities, African Americans, just keep going with it. Income taxes. This election, she should be ahead of him by solid 20 points, unmovable, all right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to what I've always said. Florida's in play. Pennsylvania's in play. I know they'll call me crazy. Ohio's in play. Carolina's in play. Utah, which she was going to take Utah. No, that's in play. She is so weak and she's so damaged that even Donald Trump, who's made about every mistake under the sun, even Donald Trump is going to be neck and neck with her. So, this is far from over. I've been saying this for a long time. People say, no, you're nuts. He's going to lose in a landslide. No, he's not. This is going to be a tight election.
In Ohio, specifically, is this
a... It's going to go for Trump.
Does that surprise you in light of how it was supposed to be a swing state?
Yes, because you got the governor of Ohio doing everything humanly possible against Donald Trump. Good friends of mine, and I love these people, they spend all day long on Facebook berating Donald Trump hour by hour. A lot of Kasich supporters, hour by hour, not day by day, hour by hour, berating him constantly. He has no organization. She does. She spent tons of money, et cetera, and he's going to beat her.
Yes,
he's going to beat her in Ohio.
And Portman, I still can't get over Portman having such a big advantage over Strickland. Portman was going to be like...
I can tell you what happened there.
What happened? Oh, give me the dirt. Tell me what happened.
Okay. No, look, Rob Portman drove me completely out of my mind on trade bills. I sat in the Oval Office with him, with George Bush sitting there, looking at us. Me and Karis Matterholt was in the room with me, and he said, we can stop Chavez, the leader of what was it, Argentina, wherever the heck.
Venezuela.
Yeah. The only way is this Central America free trade deal. And he's sitting there, he says, you know where you guys are? You're in the most powerful office on earth, right here. Look where you're at. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm in the Oval Office, all right? And he said that to us three or four times. I brought you into the most powerful room on earth because this is how much this means to me. What do I give a damn whether I'm in the Oval Office or not?
Right.
I mean, really. So he goes on and on and on. He's going to stop Chavez. He's going to stop communism, blah, blah, blah. Rob Portman's there. He's his trade rep. Rob Portman never saw a trade deal that he didn't get sexually excited about, okay? He loves trade deals. Portman drove me out of my mind when I was going down the halls of the Capitol. If I saw Rob, and I like Rob, by the way. I like him. But when I saw Rob, I ran the other way. He was a pit bull for trade bills. He always has been. Now, I went through that long rant for a reason. He comes on TV, and this makes me sick to my stomach. He comes on TV, I'm fighting China. No, he's not. No, he's not. I'm fighting these unfair trade bills. No, he created every single one of them. And now that people don't like trade bills and don't like China and Ohioans don't like it, he's no better than Hillary Clinton on saying that she's always been for...
She's always
been against them. I'm getting off the... Here's the point.
All right.
Ted Strickland gave him a pass. I would have had trade bills sticking up his wazoo every hour.
Yes.
I'd have had protests at his office. I'd have said, you're a liar. I mean, I would have went after... I like Rob, so I'm just giving you the insight. Ted was too nice in the election. They didn't get, organized like they needed to, and they didn't define Portman. Look, nobody knows Rob Portman in Ohio.
Right.
He had like 25% of people knew him. If you're not known, and I'm not known, Dimitri, and I define you first, you're going to be known the way I want you to be. And that's what he did with Ted. He defined Ted, and he defined himself as the guy that fights heroin, except he didn't vote for the funding for heroin. He's the guy that fights the trade bills until he votes for all of them. But he defined himself, and he defined Ted, unfortunately.
Now, Ted Strickland is not a dumb guy. I interviewed him on WWVA. He was actually one of my more impressive interviews. He's a smart guy, well-spoken. He was a former governor. And how could he end up running such a miserable campaign?
You know his problem?
What?
He's not like me and you.
Which is?
He's a nice guy.
Oh,
there's he's not like me and you.
There's your problem.
Yeah.
You got to go for the throat. In politics, you have to go for the throat.
Look, yeah, you're running an election. You know how politics runs.
Yep.
Do too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah, support yourself and stuff. But listen, it's a blood sport. If you play nice, they will step on you, laugh at you, and pull both your eyes out.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you're ever in a lawsuit or anything like that, you know, my attitude is this. I'm going to kick him in the balls, I'm going to step on his throat, and I'm going to crush him. That's my attitude. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to do that because there's only one rule, and that is you win. That's it. There's nothing else. Nothing else matters.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we had records to run on, and we did, but I learned a lesson early on, and I refused to run a negative ad early on, and I dropped 16 points, and we finally had to run them. And people said, oh, Bob, I hate you. Don't need to do that. Oh, yeah, you do in politics. I'm sorry. Yes, you do.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of negative ads because that gives me lots of material for my show.
You're worse than me.
Yeah, I probably am. Yeah. Anyway,
imagine the two of us running against each other. Whoa.
I still think it'd be a great idea, but you obviously have dropped the ball on this one to have a talk show.
I could put together a campaign team of about six of us, and we would be so out of order that people would vote just to see us conduct ourselves for 2 years. I really could. I could put together a dream team. You'd be in it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, look, Bob, I could talk with you. I could listen to you forever. You know this. And you've already been more than generous with
I've had a lot of
time.
Fun, but a serious conversation with you, too, because you're right on track on stuff, and it's very, very frustrating, the whole election. It's Saturday Night Live had this great spoof, but I got to tell you, for the debate, but in itself, it's hard to beat the entertainment of this election itself. It's so comical.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this has been the greatest reality show in the history of television. I mean, starting with before the first primary, with both parties, and even throw in the Libertarian Party, because even that was kind of interesting, but especially, this has been the greatest reality TV show in the history of broadcasting. There's no question about it. And we still have a month to go.
Right.
Oh, it's magnificent. It really is. It really is. Now, I always give my guests the last word, Bob, and this is a great opportunity for you to shamelessly promote Sideswiped, your runaway bestseller, and also to have people listen to you on the Talk Media News Service, all these radio stations you're on, and anything else. So I'm going to hand you my Shure SM7B dynamic microphone, and you can speak directly to my listeners. So, Bob Ney, my microphone is yours.
Yeah, and you have listeners in India, so they're probably listening to me right now, too, as they're trying to, you know, make the $30 a month. Nice people, though. So anyway, I've got Sideswiped. I still have a lot of copies. I'll hand sign them. CongressmanNay@gmail.com, CongressmanNey at gmail.com. And just send me a note. I'll send you a book. That's about it. I mean, that's my only selfish promotion I have right now.
All right, you're on Facebook.
I have another
at least
book coming out on substance abuse, so I'll be promoting that next year.
When?
I think I'll come up and we'll do a book signing or something. We'll do that.
Oh, I'd do a whole show with you somewhere for that. That'd be fantastic. Now
name of it's going to be It's Beyond Stopping.
Beyond Stopping, and it's about addiction.
It's Beyond Stopping, yes.
Okay, that would be great. Now, you better hurry up, because you had told me that this thing would have been out by June of this year, and so now there are these delays. So when is this
book
coming
out? Well, I got my
half
done. The lady writing the outside the box part of it, she's working on hers.
Well, geez, tell her to get her ass.
She was over in India.
Oh, with you? Oh, we got a little thing going here. Well, tell me about
over
this lady.
India.
Tell me about this lady
no.
in India. Come on. What's her name?
I'm not going there.
Does she have eight arms? Does she have eight arms?
Look, I'm not Trump or Clinton. You're not going to make me say things.
Oh, it must be pretty mad. Is she part of the caste system? Is she an untouchable? You are the only one who would touch her? Is that what's going on there?
Oh, you're so bad. Oh, you know what? I just hope you get up before the pearly gates before I do, because then they'll say, hey, Nay, come on past Dimitri.
Do you give her like a rupee? Okay, you can do one word per rupee. Here's a rupee for each word for you to edit it. Is that how it's done over there or what?
So bad. Anyway, so I'm not sure we're going to do that show on that book.
All right.
She'll pull out a dagger and, we could get a lot. If she pull out a dagger on live streaming, that would get some
nice. Oh, that would be fantastic. And I understand.
Oh, it's a flesh wound. I mean, nothing serious.
Yeah. But, you know the sanitation is so bad there, the dagger would probably be, you know, full of bacteria, and I'd probably die after a few days like the Komodo dragon, the way they do that. But anyway.
Do you realize how many people would come to your service? Oh, my.
Just to make sure I'm dead, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was going to say that.
Thank
yeah.
you, Bob. Thank you.
There you go.
All right, remember to give me credit. Give me credit for the theory now.
I enjoy your topics.
Yes, but give me.
I watch your show.
Give me credit, because this whole cover-up's not about Hillary. It's about Obama. Nobody else is saying it. Just give me credit on these 410 radio stations.
Oh, no, last month I already had this theory. I'm sorry. I've got this paper to prove it. I might have deleted it. I'll have to look it up.
Bite me. All right, Bob. Thank you. Always a pleasure. We'll do it again soon. All right. Bye-bye.
All righty. Thanks. Bye-bye.